WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Flat with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. When rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith.
It's been a minute since we've gone live after a WWE event that wasn't a WrestleMania. This is WTR Sunday Night, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio, WildTalkRadio.com, twitch.tv/WTR live chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to Twitch. Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming. It's not Twitch Prime. It's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSock and 49 shop because hashtag Epic Partner. We're here to talk Sunday night's main event on a Sunday. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
It has been a moment since we've actually gone live immediately following the show.
Yeah. It's been a minute.
I gotta get used. Okay, hang on. Gotta get back into the mode. All right. Okay, I'm ready now.
And what a long 24 hours it's been, Brent. Because it's what it makes a difference. Because we have sound on Discord again.
I was gonna say I don't have Twitch up, and I heard the music. So
let's call that a win. Let's call that a win for the night. Filling in for one, Keishi Matsunaga, is Lindsay Ward.
I'm lost. Where am I? I'm confused. This isn't Thursdays.
This is not Thursday. This is a Sunday.
And you don't have work tomorrow either, so, you know.
Neither do you, technically.
Well, I'm still working from home.
Brandon.
I know.
Some things will never change. Just like the one and only Tim Stein.
That's me. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, the other main event. Waka waka. Hi, Lindsay.
Hi. How are you?
How are you? I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good. Good. Good. How's the house coming along?
Oh, it's good. It's very good.
Awesome. I need to see more pictures.
Okay. Now it's changed.
Yeah, that's why I need to see more pictures. Brent, how you doing?
Oh, living the dream.
How's the house coming along?
Not coming along.
Well, we are here apartment. Tonight. There you go. We are here tonight to tell you what we thought of Sunday night's main event. And I've got a couple of things to say on a couple of things that happened tonight. So everybody here does. And we're going to kick off by saying happy Labor Day long weekend to all of those who don't work from home. And those who do work from home but are smart enough to take tomorrow off.
Indeed. The biggest story, though, coming out of it was the return of not-as-big Bronson Reed.
Yeah, you know, he shows up, and I watching it, and I'm like, my very first thought is, which spot two is that one?
He got in great shape.
He looks wonderful.
Homeboy looked trim.
He's dropped a good, it looks like a good 175 pounds easy.
I wouldn't think it's that much, but I could say maybe about 70 pounds.
Homeboy toned.
Lots of muscle.
He's looking good, but that tsunami just isn't going to be the same.
I think it'll still be the same.
Oh, it'll get sold the same. That's a different thing.
Muscle landing on you is going to hurt a little bit more.
It will come. It was the matchup between Oba, Femi, and Bron Breakker. I was surprised it was as competitive back and forth as it was, and that Oba was pretty much sort of like the underdog in the match, having to fight back a lot.
And I sort of should have figured that it was going to go the way it went, but I didn't.
I think they wanted to use this match as a Braun reclamation project, in a sense. Oba, you've seen what he can do. But as we saw in the build to this match, even Bron Breakker pointed out the fact of like, hey, I was in your spot. I was supposed to be the big one. And then, all of a sudden, I got hurt. And so they turned that into the story of, yeah, things passed him by a bit. And even though he wants to do the, like, well, you know, you've won King of the Ring, but you haven't won championships, I'm going to be like, Braun, the biggest title you've had is the IC title. You had the NXT belt, good for you. I don't know if your run getting handed the tag team title quite has the same oomph behind it that you think it does in that promo.
Hey, all that counts is that he had it. Doesn't matter how he got it. All that counts is
still
that he
has it. He still has it, technically. But when it's, hey, we literally took the belt off of an injured Logan Paul and put it on your shoulder, doesn't have the same effect.
Now, what they should do is take the one off of Austin Theory and put it on Bronson Reed, and then you have a powerhouse duo holding the belts.
Might happen.
I don't think they'll take it off of Austin, no. Because legitimately, it's the only thing keeping Austin Theory around right now.
I mean,
that and a really shitty promo for Arby's steak bites.
Actually, I'm pretty sure the only thing keeping him around is Maxine Dupri.
Yeah.
Who played a part in this match. So did Logan Paul.
Logan Paul got his appearance money tonight, which was showing up and standing on the apron and getting his ass chucked.
Pretty much. But he was there.
So yeah. That counts. He got his money. He got his payday. That's what matters.
I just hope this doesn't go the way that the Judgment Day goes, where you have interference and everything. Please, WWE, with a faction like this, don't do that again, where all they do is cheat. Like, well, they've
done it already.
I know.
What's the point of having a heel faction if you're not going to do heel things?
There's doing heel things and there's doing it all the time. Like, literally every match, to the point that you can almost predict when it's going to happen.
Bloodline. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Like, once in a while, fine. But, like, I think to have a strong heel faction, they shouldn't cheat all the time. Because then it's like, what's the point of you? Why should we be afraid of you? Why should we boo you? Because all you're going to do is cheat. Like, why should we care?
I think that was the biggest downfall of the Bloodline, honestly, was, mm-hmm. And we talked about it with Judgment Day, and why I got sick of the Bloodline in their last year was, as you mentioned with Judgment Day, it's like, you can set a clock to the point of the match where you're like, well, here comes JD. Oh, look, here he comes right now out down the ramp.
Yeah.
It was always, all right, we get the Usos. And then right when it's a 1-2 count, Solo will pull the referee out, and then, you know, Simone Spike out of nowhere, boom. Yep, that's what we thought.
So, I mean, I liked how they did this. I liked how they had Braun equal to Oba in a lot of ways. Like, I didn't think this was going to come out and be like an Oba slapfest by any imagination.
Other than the one to the chest that saw the handprint still stinging.
Fuck that sound.
Yeah, that hurt. Oh, I mean,
God.
Whoever caught Braun's titty in the sixth row, if you could please return it, I'm sure he would appreciate it. But it's good to know that we have two people that can now do that. But yeah, I liked how they did this. I liked how they had Braun and Oba equal, because I think, to Brent's point, they had to sort of like recover Braun a little bit. I don't think he's really had a chance to shine like this, because he just hasn't had opponents like Oba before, or I shouldn't say before, but like in recent memory. And so it's good for him because he can show his prowess and show what brought him to the dance, which is what he was doing in NXT and why everybody was so excited for him. And then he was on the rise and he got hurt and now he's here. So I think it was good for both Oba because it gave Oba a chance to shine, gave Oba some real competition, much in the same that he had with Brock. And it gave Braun a chance to shine. Both of them. Because the Brons are back. Braun 1, Braun 2, we'll get them shirts.
It did seem like to me, Tim, that Oba started to gas out a little bit towards the end.
Yeah, but was that him kayfabing it or was he really gassing out? I'm watching it and at one point, one side of my brain is thinking he's reached his limit. The other side of my brain is thinking he's really selling that well.
I think it's a combination, but there are a few strikes where it went, ooh, he just didn't have full strength behind it like he should at that point. Like, one was when he was charging into the corner, he just seemed a step slow. But he hasn't been working long matches in a while, so I think that's part of it.
That's what I was going to say, is he's been built to have these matches where it's like, okay, you decimate your opponent in 4 minutes. That's the problem with Goldberg back in the day. He never really got the cardio because he never really had to work long matches. And then when he got put into the deep end, boy howdy was that shown.
And this is why I'm kind of torn between work and shoot, because this might be, because this is going to be an ongoing feud for quite a while between him and the Vision. And it could be a case of they're going to figure out they've got to stretch him out. The longer they keep him in the ring, the more he's going to slow down.
But he, like the man's brought up in chat, he had longer matches and he was not gassed out like he was tonight in those matches. But again, it's been 9 months since he's had that style of match, at least. Maybe 10 months, where he's gone longer. So sometimes you kind of lose it when you're not working every week like he was in NXT. And working Brock Lesnar, you're working 5 minutes. So
yeah, you're either opening or closing.
Sprint, but,
yeah, it could be either one or the other. I'm not going to lean one way or the other on this one at all, but I'm just saying, if he was blown up towards the end, okay, I get it. It's understandable. And Rock, you pointed out all the reasons why. If it's storyline, I'll be like, aha.
I think it was a combination of both. That's me. I think there are moments where he was selling it and there was a couple that was like, ooh, he could have hit that a little bit harder.
Hey, let's talk about the opening match, because I've got something to say that I don't think I would have ever said about a Baron Corbin match.
We'll get to that in a second.
WWE.
There was a concert, and the internet was freaking out that was going to happen during the show, and it was one quick song to start the show. Did it hurt your professional wrestling? No. Did it take away from the show? No. But the internet for days was freaking out about it.
Well, they're currently freaking out about a rumor that they're going to have a concert during halftime as opposed to intermissions for all the PLEs moving forward.
For the major PLEs like Rumble and WrestleMania. It's not like they haven't had musical performances before. They have them all the time. I don't know why people are up in arms.
Well, you got dirt sheets stirring the pot, just trying to get clicks. That's the way I see it.
Brock, it's only allowed if they're doing a special entrance for someone. That's what we've learned. It's only okay if a band is there to perform the musical entrance. Anything else is just grandstanding.
No, they've had interludes before, previously, in years gone by, where they've stopped all the action so a band can come out and play a couple of tunes.
I understand.
I just want to make it clear. I got no problems with them doing that.
I know, I'm talking about certain wrestling fans. That is their mentality. It's like, no. We don't care about the music. We just don't want it to be taking away from the wrestling. If it's the entrance theme, that's fine, because that's how you justify it, even though that's bullshit answer.
I definitely totally get where you're coming from.
And I agree with the man. I hope he is working longer matches. But Tim wants to talk about Baron Corbin and Little Yachty.
Baron Corbin and Little Yachty, which led into Baron Corbin and Trick Williams. And
spoiler,
this is not something I had ever thought I'd say about a Baron Corbin match in WWE. I got the sense they're thinking, follow that, you guys. I think that it was a very, very hot opening match. It was very a very good opener, and I was highly entertained.
It was very entertainment. It helped that the crowd was actually behind Lil Yachty.
I was going to say, he got the hometown crowd for both people, I believe. Isn't Trick also from around the...
No, is he?
He might be. Brent, you're the intern. Google.
I'm... Columbia, South Carolina is where he's born.
Okay.
So not quite. Almost. But
not quite, but they... Atlanta was hot for him.
Yeah, they were hot. They're big on Trick Williams. Lil Yachty got a great reaction. Baron Corbin is a fantastic heel. He can generate heat with anybody.
He did such a good job at milking the 5 minutes, because you knew it was going to go the length. He wasn't going to pull out a win in like 2 minutes, but he did it well enough to draw it out to where it didn't purposely feel like, okay, he's filling time. It's he's beating on Lil Yachty, and he looks up and he's like, I've got another minute. Beat on him a little more, go to get the table.
Yeah.
He did well in terms of pacing it and realizing what he had to do within certain time frames.
Yeah, I appreciated that it wasn't a half the time Lil Yachty trying to keep away from Baron Corbin running away, like we have seen on these time limit things before.
Yeah, Lil Yachty went at him, which was nice to see.
I just said that.
With his trick stick as well. Although, I will say, this is the second or third time they've made the trick stick, and the very first hit, it explodes in all of the rhinestones and whatever he's got on there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the show, Brent. Why bedazzle a kendo stick if it's not going to explode rhinestones at some point? Why?
I mean, fair.
But yeah, it was a fun opener. It wasn't the greatest wrestling match you're ever going to see, but the near falls during the ending of Trick and Baron were really good.
The near falls were good. The one thing I will say is I'm also glad that Trick did not get involved in the first match.
Yeah.
Because I think if he had done that, it would have taken away from the second match.
Oh, absolutely. It would have taken away from it.
You let Little Yachty last the 5 minutes, and then it's like, okay, now I can come out and get my shot.
Very well booked.
We'll admit, kind of surprised that they did this finish.
Trick is, once again, U.S. champion.
Which, as I message Rock, I guess this doesn't mean Trick in the Bank. They could still do it, but...
They could, but I guess not.
It feels like if you have him with the U.S. title, he's already got something. So you're not going to put two things on him.
No.
Because the biggest problem I have right now is you've got... It seems too often between the two major companies that we're like, oh, they've already got a belt, but they're going to compete for another. It's like, no, just let them focus on the one. That's why I like Obafemi. If he's doing things, it's I'm going to keep that title shot in the back until I'm ready for it. Or Andrade and AEW, he's got the guaranteed title match, but you know what? I'm going to run with this national title, and then I'll cash in when I want to.
Yeah, just because people have done it doesn't mean they have to do it again.
No, it honestly, it feels lazy if it's just like, we're going to put 2-3 belts on one person. It's like, well, why? Now you're killing off title contentions for other people. That's me.
We then move to the women's six-woman tag match. Charlotte, Alexa, Tatum, Paxley taking on Jade Cargill and her baddies. What we learn, Lindsay, you don't go chasing waterfalls.
No, you don't.
They don't want no scrubs.
I popped for the gear. I'm sorry. I thought it was good.
It was clever.
Atlanta's own. TLC, man.
Burn the house down with it.
But no, I liked the match. I thought it was very fun. Tatum hasn't quite fit in with the group yet. She's still learning. There's still some growing pains. I think Charlotte is still very sort of unsure of her.
Which I like.
Which I very much like, because you get that sort of tension back of what Charlotte and Alexa initially had. And I think the difference with, obviously, with Tatum is Charlotte and Alexa don't really know her. Like, at least with Charlotte and Alexa, when they first came together, you sort of know what you're getting because you sort of danced around each other for years. So it's like, it's very obvious with Tatum. It's sort of like, well, does she really go here? Are we sure? Do we know? Like, is she cool? And so they're kind of,
sit with us.
You can't sit. We wear pink on Wednesdays.
Or Sundays, apparently tonight.
Or Sundays. No, we wear black on Sundays and pink on Wednesdays. So they're all feeling each other out, which I really, really enjoy. And Tatum sort of brings that unpredictability to the group. It's kind of almost like Alexa's dueling personalities, where we get like fiend Alexa and we get regular Alexa, and there's like a blend between the two that Charlotte has to deal with. That's really nice. Although that's not what Tatum's doing at all. That's just what I view it as. But yeah, I thought the match was great. It was a good showing for Jade and the baddies. I thought everybody worked well together. They played nice together. They sold the story well. No complaints on it.
One of my favorite things about this is, like Lindsay's talking about, they have very subtle ways to show that they're not fully gelling together. And one of those moments is when you see the two in the corner for the tag, and they're both reaching out. And if it's Alexa, it's like, okay, who does Alexa choose? Because I think it's one of those, if Alexa tags Charlotte, Tatum's fine with it. It's like, okay, cool. But I have a feeling like, if there's the tag to Tatum, Charlotte's kind of looking like, wait a minute, why? What's going on? Like,
I'm signed up for this.
Right. Like, I'm the queen. Like, you should want to bring me into the match. And it's still, like you said, there's the feeling out, and the way that this match ended, I think, is going to lead to interesting ways in which they want to tell things, because there was the miscommunication from Tatum and Charlotte. They both were trying to go for the figure four. Tatum was kicked into Charlotte, which ultimately led to the Jaded.
Mm-hmm.
But I think one of the other interesting things is to watch after the match. Charlotte's down, Alexa's checking on her, and Tatum is kind of losing her shit a little bit, blaming herself for what's happening, and Alexa's trying to calm her down, like, no, it's okay, it's okay. Which also kind of plays to a little bit of Tatum's history. A lot of the people she's been with have turned on her, have blamed her. And so is she getting into this headspace of, oh no, not again, not again, like, I can't have another person turn. And you've got Alexa trying to talk her down, like, no, no, everything's fine. It was a mistake. We're all good. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with her and Charlotte moving forward of, does Charlotte start to trust her? Or are there seeds planted for that, like, Tatum is fearful that she's going to get turned on again?
I can almost see Tatum overcompensating a little bit afterwards, trying to make it up to them. And it just sort of pushes that mistrust even more.
She's trying to do it too hard, too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't be surprised if it turns out to be a case of do unto others before they do it to you. Down the road a little bit.
We shall have to see. But then there was your main event. Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton.
I love that we didn't get stupid face here. I love it so. Too often people are put in positions of, I'm going to come out for my entrance and I'm going to have my back. You know, I'm going to be looking down the entranceway and I'm going to stand there and you'll hear the fans cheer, but I'm not going to turn around and boom, you get waylaid. I love that Cody gets in the ring. Randy tries to jump him and Cody just instantly is just like, oh, hell no, this ain't happening. And Randy, of course, is like, oh, shit. Well, this didn't work.
Cody's like, I know your ways.
But it also shows the fact Cody is a smart veteran. Like, yeah, you're going to try and jump me. The entire build has been you trying to push my buttons. So I am not going to let this happen. And then referee discretion took over.
As it's wont to do.
For a long time.
I don't think I ever saw Charles Robinson take two bumps in one match before.
No, he's taken a couple.
I don't recall.
We got the Randy Orton chin lock early in this match, too. Randy needed that rest.
He's tired.
I mean, I guess they kind of had two matches in one, because they had the stuff on the outside and everything, and then they brought it into the ring. So I guess when you bring it into the ring, it's like, all right, I'm going to give you a little bit of a breather. It's fine. Also, it's nice to see that Cody is sporting the Guile hairdo still. Not quite as much as the actual Guile haircut, but it's one of those, like, I was watching him about halfway through the match, and I was like, that is a lot longer than we're normally used to with him.
I mean, he's got to go out for press here soon, so he's got to get it. He's got a month to kind of get it up in the air a little bit more.
Oh, Rock, I forgot one very important thing for the match before this.
I was coming back to that in a little bit. Okay. We'll get there. I like Cody's indecision. I thought him struggling to punt Randy was a good creative move.
Want him to fully go to the dark place, but it was nice to see that. It was nice to see that he's willing to try the punt, but at the same time, you kind of got sniveling Randy in that moment.
You did.
Before he got the double nut shot, which takes some effort.
Mm-hmm.
You really got to get that arm up there for that.
Well, his arms are long enough, so that helps.
But it was a clever way to get the other ref out of there who came in checking on Randy. Because of the blood, we got blood. That will maybe see... Well, it wasn't on Netflix, so they can keep it in the show. Be fine.
As I say, it wasn't censored, so you know that's good.
Wasn't censored. It should stay in the show. Peacock show. If it was on Netflix, the replay probably would be...
It would be adjusted.
Adjusted, so we wouldn't see it. Or at least be black and white.
You guys do know why they adjusted on the replay, don't you?
Yeah, because it's for other countries.
Other countries that find that as a big-ass no-no. Yep,
exactly. Oh, yeah. Just mocking the internet for being mad about it. People don't understand sometimes. Bing, bang, the WWE Network that you'll cancel in 5 minutes. Yeah, LeMans, that's why they blur it. It's the other country standards. Netflix, it's different than Peacock because that's more probably U.S. based. That's a U.S. based platform. Netflix is in 200 something countries or whatever, and each country has its own thing. And yeah, there are gory shows on Netflix, but they have to be tagged a certain way. So that's why they can get away with it. And in those countries, it doesn't air, and where it has the warnings. Wrestling is PG, and you're not showing blood. So that's why they censor it and they cut like cursing out in some instances on the newer episodes of Raw. It's the way it'd be. But hey, Lindsay, Cody lost.
Cody did lose. There's no LOL Cody wins here. I like how they sold the loss. I liked Cody sort of losing his shit at the end and he's just beating on Randy until he beats Randy bloody. I liked the build to the finish very, very much. I thought it was, honestly, this is kind of, I think, what I wanted personally when they went around Mania. And we kind of got it, kind of didn't get it. This was much more intense. I very much enjoyed that just based on their history together. But yeah, Cody loses, which, as we talked about on Thursday, is Cody could be off to do press for Street Fighter. So, you know, he's got to go off and, you know, hang his head in shame. But I liked how they were like cutting to his mom and to Brandy and to the family. Like after the match,
because they played a part. Brandy threw a drink at Randy at one point. So good drama, good ending. I don't think you can ask for anything more. It leads to some more compelling TV on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. It keeps Cody out of a certain title picture, which is nice.
Which he doesn't need to be anywhere near right now. Which is a good thing. So yeah, that's Saturday night's main event. Shout out to Kelly for her appearance tonight on Sunday night's main event.
Someone in production is going to get a talking to.
So I want to think about this. How do we hit the Kelly button?
I get it's one of those things, like maybe it's a quote unquote placeholder for, you know, like testing stuff and everything. But God, you got to make sure that you clear that out.
When was the last time?
It was their first day.
Must have been, because when was the last time we've used the Kelly button? Like
Hall of Fame?
Maybe. They use them a lot for the Royal Rumble. To keep people aware. Like for years they used Victoria's to tease her. Like people would see it when it's in the open buildings. It's like, hey, she's returning, which she never returned. But this is a Sunday in September. You don't need to be the Kelly button. But that's what happened.
But Rock, they want a holla holla.
Yeah, what's the name of her finishing move, Brant?
I can't remember.
We just did this a couple weeks ago. Come on. The answer is, what is the K2?
Oh, that's right.
Damn, you even want the what is.
You'll remember it at some point. We'll run that question back again next time we do Jeopardy. You'll remember.
I hate you, Rock. I hate you, Rock, so much for that.
All right, housekeeping, Brant, before we go.
All right, housekeeping. So we had 10 people enter into our pick'em contest. Let me see. In last place, we have the Magical Wheel of Fun and Subway and Rob all going 1-3.
GG's to them.
Tied in, I'll just say second place, going 2-2. So batting a 500 for this, we have Tim, Heishi, the 8-Ball, and Sarah.
Nice.
And then tied for first place, going 3-1, is you, me, and Lindsay.
I'd like to throw in a caveat. After Baron Corbin didn't beat Lil Yachty in 5 minutes, I immediately, before the match even started, said that I was picking Trick. So technically, I'm 3-2.
Technically, no. We do not count picks after the event has started. And Lindsay tried to pull that shit about a month ago, and we told her no to.
Yep. Tim, I will also say, just from a rule standpoint, you picked Baron Corbin to win the first match, so therefore you didn't think the second match was even going to happen. Ergo, that pick doesn't even register.
No, that wouldn't have counted if the other thing didn't, so shut up.
I'm just saying, you didn't even think there was going to be a second match, so...
I said, blah, 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 blah.
Still finished better, so that's all that matters.
Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah.
But that... is our show. Tomorrow night, it's another edition of the Raw Post Show. When Raw ends, we are live to talk all about it. There is no Rack on Thursday, but you can usually hear Lindsay Thursdays on the Rack. Saturday night, CB Radio, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We're doing a Greater Than Great debate this week. And the following week, we're doing another Greater Than Great debate, most likely, for Brent's favorite day.
Yeah.
Talk like a pirate day. So tune in, CB Raider, Saturday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Sunday for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live, 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay, plug your stuff.
You follow me on most of social medias at Lindsay Ford, LNSWRD.
Tim.
Yeah, follow me on the X account, Twitter, whatever you want to still call it, at Flame Forums, because that's where I'm posting shit right now.
Brent?
You can find me on a variety of social media at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens. That would be X/Twitter, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, all the fun ones.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account. It's not Prime Gaming, it's not Twitch Prime, it's just Prime. Click the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card Rockstock in the Fortnite item shop. It's hashtag epic partner. Tim, send us home.
Yeah, once again, happy Labor Day long weekend to everybody. Hope that your long weekend is going great and that you get all rested up and all that other stuff. Take it easy. Short work week next week. And join us again next Sunday night for another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Good night, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.